You guys love air travel or do you hate air travel?
Both.
I lean on the side of loving it. And it's so weird because once I get seated on the plane, I hate going through security and hate that business. Security's my most hated time. When I have to take off my shoes, for some reason, that's the most defeating moment of my entire life.
Because you know you're going to have to put them right back on again?
Right, yes. And it just, it's so annoying, and I hate the clank of those gray metal, those gray plastic trays as everyone's trying to get theirs up there to get their laptop in it and all that mess. Hate going through the security line. But when I sit down on that seat in the airplane and just waiting for it to push back from the gate, I have an incredible feeling of freedom. And you know why? Because I have fewer options. Because all of a sudden, I got an excuse for not being in touch with work. I got an excuse for not having to answer all this email. I'm now a captive audience, and I have no choice but to relax. That's all I can do is just relax. Nothing I can do, no errands I can run.
And then the guy in front of you leans his seat back.
Yes, indeed.
I can relax when that happens.
There's always a few jackasses on a plane, but I encountered the greatest jackass of all time in my travels over summer vacation. I traveled a long way away to the continent of Africa. And it's I had to fly up to Washington, D.C. first, and then that's when I take my plane to Johannesburg, South Africa.
How long a flight?
That flight is, I want to say, around 16 hours from Washington to South Africa.
Wow.
But it stops. It has to stop in Dakar, Senegal.
To refuel?
To not only take on fuel, but take on one of the smelliest individuals I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Now, what did he smell like?
The plane that flies to South Africa is huge. Those long-haul flights, I think they are seating configuration 3, 4, and 3. I think that's right. So it's, God, can that be right? 10 seats across in a wide-body airplane? Maybe it's 2, 4, and 3.
I've been on a 2-5-2 a lot.
Maybe it was a 2. That's it. It was a 2-5-2. Two seats, an aisle, 5 seats, and then an aisle, and then 2 more seats. So I was traveling with my brother, and we had the middle row, okay? We had the 5 seats across. He's on an aisle, I'm on an aisle. There's no one between us.
Nice.
How great is that?
That is great.
Until we get to Dakar, Senegal. A man enters the plane 20 rows up. And as soon as he enters, the smell permeates the cabin.
20 rows away, and you can smell it like he's right next to you.
Yes. Imagine the smell of a menstruating rhinoceros. Now then smear
that's
that
hard
with
to
dung.
Imagine. I've never smelled that before, so that's hard to imagine. Dung I can relate to, I guess.
George, it was horrible. And he's wearing, I mean, it's Dakar, Senegal, and he's wearing, like, wool slacks and some sort of, it looked like a military top that was made of the heaviest wool possible. And he
didn't breathe much.
No, there was no breathing room in that thing. And he had apparently been wearing it for, I would say, 3 or 4 years straight.
So a cat like that, he never showers.
It was highly unlaundered. And so he gets on the plane, and everybody, you see everybody's nose starts twitching a little bit. Everybody's aware that we've got a menstruating rhino in our midst. So he starts walking back towards us. And as he approaches, I mean, your eyes are just watering, and, you know, your skin is starting to get wrinkled up.
And you're praying that he doesn't sit next to you.
Just praying. Don't let him sit anywhere within 3 rows of us. Just anywhere within 3 rows. Give us a little bit of nostril space. He approaches.
No.
He looks up at the number right above my head. And then he...
Gordo! You
know, no. There's no ticket recognition.
How funny!
Hey, you Gordo! I listen on 1700 here in Senegal. Hey! No, he has to get in our row. I mean, here, me and my brother were traveling together, and this guy from Dakar, Senegal, the smelliest man in the world, they ought to make commercials about him. He ought to endorse a beer. He sits in our row between us.
Right between you. Oh, my God.
Right between us. There are approximately 1,200 seats on this airplane. And this man is parked right between us.
Did you think about paying him off?
Yeah, I just... You know, do like you do in some of those countries, and you just throw a coin far away, and he runs and goes and
gets
it.
Well, not like that. I was just offering cash to, I don't know, find a seat that's not
No, because
so
I didn't
close.
Want to smell what would come out of his mouth if he started talking. What kind of stench that would be.
Breath.
Oh, my gosh.
So you now have 8 hours or something with him?
Yes. So we're sitting there. This is before we take off. I mean, it's like an hour-long runway layover. You don't get off the plane. You're on the plane.
Right.
He gets on the plane. He sits down. Before the plane even took off again, I look over to, you know, see where what my brother's doing. And my brother's nowhere to be found. And I look and he's 15 rows up in a new seat. Now I'm stuck with the guy.
Were there not that many seats open?
There were. That's the thing.
Oh, so you could move.
Yeah, is that there were, you know, there were 50 seats open on this plane.
But if you're right next to him, you have that awkward moment to get over if you're just packing up and leaving.
And that's the thing. My brother was right next to him. I had a two-seat, which means nothing to the human nose, a two-seat cushion with this guy. But my brother gets up and moves. And I'm thinking, you sorry son of a bee. And then I remember, wait, we have the same mother. That would make me technically a son of a bee, too. So so he moves, and then I try to rock.
Yeah, we don't need the brand.
Yeah. It smelled like he had, you know, there's certain hamburgers that smell like B.O. They put cumin on it. What's that? There's some spice that smells like B.O. But this guy smelled like that. I mean, he had a couple dumpsters. He had crotch onion going.
God. Did you get used to it after a while?
Well, I kept waiting for my olfactory sense to fatigue. Because once it fatigues, you can't really smell it anymore. It never did. And I just sensed that it, you know, I knew it was eating away at my nerve endings in my nose. And I expected it to deplete those nerve endings within 15 minutes. It never did. It kept eating all the way into the brain. So I said, I've got
to
move.
Well, that's a way to get rid of unwanted nose and ear hair, isn't it? Just sit next to that guy and just let him singe it off.
And he acts oblivious to it. I mean, here he sat down and the guy next to him, my brother, left within 5 minutes. You would think that'd be a clue. And then I get up and leave. I get up and move.
How far away?
I was able to get 10 rows away.
Okay.
And I was able to get in an exit row.
Wow.
And I sat next to this shifty guy from Chicago who was very vague about
what he did.
Yeah, he had, you know, hey, what are you doing, you know? Oh, I find baby companies merge. What? Find baby companies merge? Companies do baby products. I'm going to South Africa, overlook a deal that we have. And I just didn't have, I didn't want to.
See, he was beaten too. He didn't want to tell you what
no,
he did.
I was still in a fog from Senegal guy.
Did he ask you why you were suddenly sitting in his row?
Yeah, oh, he looked a little annoyed because he got the exit row to himself and all of a sudden I'm sitting down next to him. And I'm worried because I'm worried that I've got a contact stench. Now, because I sat right next to Senegal.
You may have.
And so then I sit down next to him, and he's wondering, man, this guy has hamburgers tucked down his pants. So please, if you're on the airplane, don't you owe it to your fellow travelers to shower? Like this Senegal guy, everyone he comes in contact with in his life knows that he stinks. And after we deplaned in Johannesburg, this guy joins up with some friends that were apparently on different sections of the plane, and they're all walking and laughing together.
They don't smell?
No, just he does, and why don't they tell him? Or is he pranking? Is this some elaborate, is there a, you're on candid camera Senegal edition?
He was videotaping you just to get your reaction.
You think so?
They're having a good laugh in Senegal reality TV.
Well, he knew something was up because I tried to take about 10 different pictures of him. And every time he spotted the camera, he would duck behind the seat, or he would, you know, obscure himself behind a column in the airport. And
all right, the way you describe him, he sounds like Idi Amin to me. That's what I picture him.
He looked very similar.
And so you said he was wearing something that almost looked like a military outfit. Do you think he was such a powerful man that nobody would tell him how bad he smelled?
But I thought powerful men, if you have money in those countries, aren't you bathed by people and you're bathed by virgins and you lead a Senegalese Tom Hicks lifestyle?
You would think. But in certain countries in Europe and in the Middle East and really anywhere outside of the United States, it seems like body odor is not that big a deal to these people, and I don't know why.
Like they celebrate it. Yeah, I mean, when you've been to Europe before and you'll run into people who just stink to high heaven.
I don't get it.
Heck, we used to have a board op that stunk to high heaven.
Yeah.
That was here in America.
Yeah.
But this guy put them all to shame, Junior, because of that heavy wool uniform top that he wore that he had apparently used as toilet paper for the past decade.
Could you imagine wearing wool out in a day like this?
Oh, my gosh.
Go out and play golf in that.
You never got a picture of him?
I did get a picture of him.
You going to be able to post it?
He doesn't know if he should do it or not.
What if he is like an Idi Amin type and he has connections and can have me killed?
Yeah.
So I walk back later on during the flight, and I walked past that row, and he had cleared out three entire rows. Everyone had moved. And then I got to thinking, he's a genius.
That's how he gets great seats.
Yeah. That's how he gets great seats on every airplane he's on. He always has his own row. Always has his own row. And he only pays for one seat. That's all you have to do. Is just let your crotch go to seed. Let the wild onions bloom down there, and then just wear old clothes and play golf in it for about 10 days in a row, especially just made of heavy wool, and then get on a plane.
And then you turn your coach seat into first class.
Yes.
You've got more room than you can handle.
You can handle.
That guy's just genius.
And the only price you pay is you have to duck a few photographs.
Right. Well, you're right, though. There's a love-hate relationship with air travel. I love the airport. It's a magical place to me. You can get on any plane and go anywhere. It's a great feeling. Security's a beat down, but necessary. Then the plane can be fantastic, or, you know, if you're sitting there, like the hot girl who comes down the aisle and she sits right next to you.
Oh, I got busted by one stewardess.
Good.
Because I kept trying to take photos of her.
You pervert.
Well, I needed material for joining my own Mile High Club. And, yeah, and she busted me and said, "Why are you taking pictures of me?"
Seriously?
Oh. I said, it's weird you asked that because I was just thinking. Because of, like, your uniforms?
Did she really confront you?
Yeah, she did.
How embarrassing.
Was she mad?
She looked a little annoyed. But I told her that I was an international photographer, and she had a quality about her that was otherworldly, and I'd never seen it before.
She didn't buy it.
No, she didn't buy it at all. She made me give her the camera, and she deleted them right in front of me. But the other thing, you know, international flights, this is what's great about the airport, as you're talking about, Junior. If you get on an international flight, that beer and wine.
Yep.
No charge.
Yeah?
You just load up.
All you want, eh?
Yeah. And that's what you do. You say, you know, because you get red, you got white wine, you got beer. And I asked her, how many of these little wine bottles make one of those Homer buckets at Home Depot? That's about how much wine I want. The orange bucket. Do you have those? Can you just sell me a Homer bucket of wine?
Bucket of wine.
Something that I can just dip a tin cup down into in the aisle every once in a while.
Dipper.
Drink.
That's classy there.
So classy. So more details on my travels will be tomorrow, right at 8:15. Today, Giorgio at 8:15 is going to share his incredible vacation.
There's going to be a fight if you're going to oversell it.
And for some reason, when you teased it earlier, I'm sensing it has something to do with transportation.
Some of the story is transportation related, yes.
But you indicated there may be something in the parking garage that's interesting, which makes me think you've switched vehicles. Either we're about to see the debut of Prius Giorgio, or what are those Can-Am, those three-wheeled tricycle motorcycle deals.
Maybe you got a scooter?
Scooter Giorgio?
That's...
Sidecar?
No.
Sidecar
not,
Giorgio?
Not a motorcycle with a sidecar, no. Although that would be cool.
The dog car from Dumb and Dumber?
No, that would be awesome. Mm. I'll show you the motor transportation later today. In fact, it may be really easy for you to see later today.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Just a little clue.
Did you land in a helicopter on an adjacent building?